You're listening to State of the Human, the radio show of the Stanford Storytelling Project. This show is called Questing. We've just talked about my quest for the feeling and Bobby's quest to create community by building a nomad base. This last story is about Giuseppe. Giuseppe is a film editor on a quest to build not a nomad base, but a nomadic base. He's not looking for just another way to live. He's creating a mobile venue for connection, open to anyone passing through. Sophia Paliza tells this story.
Late last year, a tan Volkswagen bus rolled up on a residential street in downtown Palo Alto. The owner parked and got out. He was a young, relatively clean-cut looking guy, wearing a newsboy cap and a pair of quaint overalls. He hung a handmade sign on the front driver door. Tea, the sign said. 0 cents. Then the young man opened the passenger door to the bus and waited. Slowly but surely, residents of the house across the street made their way over to the bus. They read the sign on the door, and then one by one, they climbed inside.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, I would love a cup of tea.
What would you like?
What kind do you have?
We can pick some out of here, or I've got other things just to make. My name is Giuseppe. We're on the tea bus. It's a mobile free tea house. It's kind of like a living room that can roll, living room slash kitchen that can roll up to any sidewalk in any town, and instantly there's a tea house there, a free tea house.
This is the second time Giuseppe has visited Emerson Street. He knows this street and its residents. It's a sojourn for him, a rest stop in a quest that began 4 years ago on the city streets of Hollywood.
I always tell people the roots of the tea bus lie in loneliness.
Back before the tea bus was even an image in his mind, Giuseppe lived out of his truck in LA while trying to make it as a video editor. He worked on his friend's documentary as an intern.
I sit on his couch all day long in front of a computer. I wasn't even at a desk. And I was for five months. The first 3 months was 70 hours a week, 60 to 70 hours a week, and I wasn't getting paid. I got paid barely anything for the whole 5 months.
And he got restless. He wanted to meet people, but he didn't know anyone in LA, and he didn't have any money to go make friends in a bar. So he came up with a pretty out there idea.
Well, so I just would go down to Hollywood Boulevard and open my tailgate and cook my dinner and cook more food than I needed. And anyone who was hungry for food or conversation, people would just sit with me. Even if they weren't like didn't need food, they would sit with me. And to keep those interactions going, I would just make tea for hours.
All sorts of different people started coming to just hang out with him.
A music student would sit down with me. And then gutter punk street kid would sit down with me, and then a shopkeeper would sit down, and all three of those people would be sitting there. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then a gangster dude with his street name is tattooed on his face,
and he became someone to these strangers. They gave him an identity.
On Hollywood Boulevard, everyone started knowing, asking when I was going to be serving tea, or, you know, oh, they started calling me the tea guy. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. I just, like, want to hang out with you, you know?
It was too late. Even if he didn't see himself that way, he had become the tea guy. This new identity was thrust upon him, and with it, a quest began to crystallize. Giuseppe had spent 4.5 years trying and failing to start a nonprofit video production company. It was in serving tea that, for the first time, he actually saw change in the people he encountered. So his new identity became more than just a part of his personality. It became a full-fledged occupation. And he started to develop ideas on how to be a full-time tea giver. Ideas that required a bus.
This bus served in the Anaheim School District from 1989 until probably the late 90s, and I I've always had a thing for school buses, and, you know, I looked at a lot of different vehicles, but the character that the school bus brings along with it is part of it. It's, you know, it's got the rounded ceilings. It's kind of like a gypsy wagon.
He named it Edna. She was big, but not massive. Old, but fixable. She was perfect. With bus in tow, Giuseppe had his quest. Finish the bus. Then go travel America. Give America tea.
Is kind of complex. There's the electrical system. There's solar panels. There's the... I almost completed with my straight vegetable oil conversion, which is using recycled vegetable oil.
He told himself he had 2 years to finish all of this, and then he would go traveling around the country. It's taken him longer because the lure of his newfound vocation was too strong. Giuseppe started traveling all over California to bring people tea, and he had to work on the bus on the side. He got tea donations from companies and individuals and supported himself by living simply and picking up odd jobs, video editing, or offering the bus as part of a rideshare program.
So I always say my spiritual practice is turning wrenches. That's like my meditation is turning wrenches or cutting wood or building something and pouring tea, obviously. But basically, every day of my life is a vacation and every day of my life is work.
Giuseppe's quest is about pursuing the creation of community between strangers. But strangers often have qualms about him, misconceptions about the man in a bus who is offering something free.
I can understand. Okay, there's this random guy in a school bus with a sign that says free tea. That's weird. That is weird for our social standards. And I've heard many people walk by and say, they read my sign and say, free tea. And they go, sketchy!
But enough people get over it. They see one person go in, and then they follow. Then they look into his eyes and see he isn't going to poison or drug them, that he isn't looking to exchange his tea to tell them about how Jesus can save their souls. But the world doesn't always see giving and taking like he does. The world isn't always nice. It isn't always safe. Giuseppe lets in the whole world, and sometimes those bits of the world bite. One night, soon after Edna came into his life, he sat down with a homeless man in Hollywood. There was a Scientology clinic giving free stress tests down the block, and the man asked Giuseppe,
"Do they believe in Jesus?" And I said, "You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think they do." And he said, "Oh, I'm not drinking tea then."
So the guy walks away, and a little while later, these hitchhiking street kids sit down to drink tea with him. They're having a good time and getting buddy-buddy with Giuseppe.
"Giuseppe, man, just so you know, if anyone ever messes with you, we've got your back." And I was like, "Oh, come on. No one ever messes with me. Like, don't be silly."
In a couple of minutes, the old guy comes back. And he looks Giuseppe in the face and just starts screaming at him.
"You don't believe in Jesus! You're the devil!" Da-da-da-da! And he starts screaming at me.
At this point, this man is getting everyone's attention all along the street. Giuseppe's apologizing, trying to defuse the situation, but it's not working. The street kids get involved.
And all these street gutter punk kids just start standing up, being like, "What, mother?" You know, just start swearing at this guy and be like, tell him they're gonna kick his ass. And I'm like, no, guys, like, chill out. And there's this whole confrontation starting to, like, bubble up. And I'm like, no, this is not what I want to promote peace, not aggression.
The conflict didn't escalate this time. But not many people would brush off a situation like that easily. Many people would question the very foundation of their quest, that the world is ready and open to receive strangers in their tea. Later in his quest, Giuseppe made it up to Seattle. He and some friends had made cinnamon rolls and were sitting around when a homeless man came up to the bus asking for money.
People in his position, if they can scrounge up $5, then they can get a room and a shower. And he doesn't want to be asking for money. His eyes are down, etc. I offered him some tea, and my friend Allie offered him some cinnamon rolls, and we asked him what his name was, and he came in here and he sat with us. And he went from being completely shut down and not communicative with eyes and stuff like that to us, everyone, treating him like a genuine human being.
They gave him money, but Giuseppe said that wasn't what mattered most to this man.
He said, you guys have given me more than anything I could have asked for. I don't want to take your money. Those are the kind of interactions that, I mean, those are the deep ones that are awesome. You know, if that just one of those circumstances happened in 4 years, I'd be happy, you know.
For Giuseppe, these moments of sudden and total connection, of the service that tea and cinnamon rolls and a warm bus offer, these have made everything worth it. And of course, he loves the freedom. But in order for Giuseppe to have the freedom to journey so far in search of connection, to offer himself so wholeheartedly to so many people, he has to sacrifice something. He has to be alone in other ways. Despite the T-Bus emerging as a quest that is an answer to loneliness, loneliness is part of being on a quest, and that's hard.
I've never been on this bus and traveled with anyone on this bus that I can function with like her. She's the only woman I've ever felt like I wanted to have a family with or have a garden with. This next couple years is the defining time for her band. The harder she works and the more she plays, and that's going to define her career for the rest of her life. So I never want to take her away from that. And I know that she doesn't want to take me away from this. She's a successful musician, and I'm a successful tea giver, I guess. I'm still in love.
And Giuseppe is a successful tea giver. And not just because of the number of people he has served tea to or the number of places he has been. In the world of nature, everyone knows the story of the upstream swimming salmon that struggle against the current in order to spawn and continue their cycle of life. But out of those masses of swimming salmon, there are always a few that don't follow. When they go swimming off from the other salmon in new and unexplored directions, the others probably look around and wonder at their strange brothers, but they keep swimming. And it's these strange salmon that enable the survival of the masses by finding new places to spawn and creating biological diversity. And that's what Giuseppe does. He swam through his life, living in his truck, working long hours every week, until he couldn't do it anymore. And then he took off in a big rickety school bus and gave tea to people. Most of us just fantasize about that breakout, about quitting our jobs, about running off into the sunset, and some of us even find a way to do it, but for those of us who can't or won't, Giuseppe can do it for us. And we, as receivers of tea, give him just enough encouragement to keep going. Just enough to counterbalance the risks and dangers he faces in mission. Because we know, as upstream swimmers, we know that we need him to swim sideways for us.
Today's program was produced by myself, Rachel Hamburg, Sophia Palisa, and Jonah Willingans. Special thanks to Bobby Holly, Daniela Bizet, Daniel Green, and Giuseppe the Tea Guy. Thanks also to Charlie Mintz, Natasha Ruck, Christy Hartman, Sandra Clark, Victoria Hurst, and Joshua Hoyt. Music you heard on this program includes Yair Yona, Stefan Basho Jungens, Stephen R. Smith, Cam Diaz, Black Twig Pickers and Steve Gunn, Fred Van Epps, Victor Herbert Orchestra, James Blackshaw, Lauren McCazin Connors, The Ooray, Broke for Free, and Phil Rivas. Original music for the Buenos Aires piece was recorded by Manolis Suega. The Buenos Aires piece also featured the music of Jake Wachtel, who traveled around the world for a year and then recorded an album called Wanderlove, which features 80 instruments that he collected on his journeys. Check out our website and iTunes beginning on Friday, January 30th, for an amazing story from Bobby Holly about a life-or-death situation while hitchhiking. For their generous financial support, we'd like to thank the Stanford Institute for Creativity in the Arts, the Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education, and Bruce Braden. Remember that you can find this and every episode of State of the Human on iTunes. You can also download them and find out more about the Storytelling Project's live events, grants, and workshops at our website, storytelling.stanford.edu. For State of the Human and the Stanford Storytelling Project, I'm Rachel Hamburg. Have a lovely evening. If you're planning on questing tonight, make sure to pack a warm jacket, clean socks, and plenty of water.